Well, last week was our third installment in our Making Our Membership in the Lord's Church Meaningful Summer Series. And you'll remember that we first talked about maintaining unity. And how we do that, we said, is remembering that we're all members of one body. Because as Christians in the Lord's body, we really can't function any other way. It wouldn't be a body, it'd fall apart, right? So we maintain our unity by remembering that yes, we are all different, right? But as Christians in the Lord's church, we're still all a part of the one body that makes up the church belonging to Jesus Christ. Then we talked about encouraging others, and we talked about how in order to make the most of our membership, that we need to be here for each other in the body when we assemble, and to be there for each other in the body outside of the assembly, remembering that, yes, we all do personally seek encouragement from others in the Lord's church, but at the same time, that also means that others in the Lord's church seek encouragement from us. It's a mutual thing, okay? And just last week, we talked about making a commitment. And you remember from last week how we talked about making a commitment to the Lord in love, and how we talked about making a commitment to our brothers and sisters in Christ in the church, in His body, in love, and also about making a commitment to the lost in love. You see, commitment is important in any relationship. It's important to us. It definitely is. It's important to God, and it's definitely important in making our membership meaningful. Commitment is definitely important. And we said that the first letter in each of those lessons make up the first letters in our acronym MEMBER. And those particular lessons made up M for maintaining unity, E for encouraging others, and M for making a commitment. So we've got a couple down, and we have a few more to go. And today we're going to talk about the fourth letter that helps to make our membership meaningful in the Lord's church. And that is becoming what you are. That's our B, becoming what you are. Now, it's my understanding that years ago, and I believe you've heard this illustration before, but bear with me. Years ago, there was this time that Albert Einstein, the great Albert Einstein, was taking a train ride to an out-of-town meeting, and he was busy going through all his papers and work and stuff, and as the conductor stopped by to punch his ticket on the train, Einstein explained he couldn't find his ticket. You know, he felt all around his jacket and his pants and looked in his papers. He couldn't find his ticket. Well, trying to ease the great scientist, of course, the conductor said, "Well, we all know who you are, Dr. Einstein. I'm sure you bought a ticket. Don't worry about it." Well, as the conductor began to move along down the train and check other passengers' tickets and stuff, he looked back to see Einstein crawling around on his hands and knees on the floor and looking around the seat for his ticket. So the conductor walks back over to Einstein, and he tries to assure him, saying, "Dr. Einstein, you know, please, don't worry about it. I know who you are." And exasperated, Einstein looked up at the conductor and said, "Well, I know who I am too. What I don't know is where I'm going." And that's interesting, isn't it? Einstein knew who he was, but he just didn't know where he was going. And I wonder if that's not the case with a lot of folks today. I mean, there are even a good number of Christians who are very confident in knowing who they are. They're children of God. They belong to Jesus Christ, but they don't quite know where they're going. They seem to kind of wander about aimlessly in their faith, you know. Now, hear me when I say that. I don't mean that they don't know their ultimate destination, heaven, you know. What I mean is that in their Christian walk, how they're going about their faith here and now seems to be without purpose, you know. It's without a destination. They just don't seem to know what to do with their faith right now. And we see that happening to the Christians in the early church by looking at all the letters written to the churches. They had problems. They weren't really sure about what to do either, you see. See, many of them failed to distinguish the difference between how they used to live without Christ and the excitement and the fulfillment of how they can live with Christ right now. They're kind of like the story of the kind-hearted, well-meaning man who visited a bazaar over in India. And those who've been over to India know that, you know, that in a lot of cities and towns, they've got marketplaces and bazaars and stuff. And there are merchants of all kinds who want to trade and sell stuff. Well, one old farmer had brought in a covey of quail to sell. And what he had done was to tie a string around one leg of each of the birds, and that string was in turn tied to a ring, which was fitted loosely around a central stick. So he had a stick, a ring, and a bunch of little quail, you know, on this thing, you know. And you see, he had taught the little quail to walk around and around in a circle, because that's all they were doing. They couldn't go anywhere. They're just, you know, walking around in a circle. Look, I'm a quail walking in a circle, you know. Now, nobody seemed interested in buying the birds for quite a while until a devout Brahmin, that's a Hindu priest, came along. Anyway, this Brahmin believed in the Hindu idea of the respect for all life. Yeah. So his heart went out to those poor little quail just walking in their monotonous circles, you know. So he told the merchant, he said, I want to buy the quail. He said, how many? He said, all of them. I want to buy all the quail. Well, okay, so as soon as the man paid for the birds, the Brahmin said, now I want you to set them all free. I want you to set all the birds free. Well, the merchant was surprised, you know. You want me to set them free? And the Brahmin said, yeah, you heard me. Cut the strings from their legs and let them free. Set them all free. So with a shrug, you know, the old farmer bent down. He snipped the strings off the quail, and they were free. But you know what happened? You know what happened, don't you? The birds simply continued to walk around and around and around the circle, you know, because that's what they were used to. That was their way of life. They were free, but they were still walking around and around circles. Finally, the Brahmin had to go ahead and shoot them off, and they fluttered away, and they landed over somewhere in another field. But you know what they did? They started walking around in circles again. I think I'm getting dizzy. Anyway, but that's sad. You know, they were free. They were unfettered. They were released, but they kept going in circles as if they were still tied down to their old way of life. You see, those poor little quail simply didn't realize that their new life could be so much different than their old one. They simply didn't know what to do with their freedom. So they just went back to their old life and what they were used to, and that's a danger for us Christians too. You see, if we don't realize the contrast between how we used to live and how we can live in Christ, then we'll just end up walking around in circles in our faith, you know, getting us nowhere. But you see, that's one of the reasons we're talking about what we're talking about. We're talking about making our membership meaningful in the Lord's church, because we don't want to be walking around aimlessly in circles. At least I don't. I get dizzy, okay? It seems to me that this is what Paul had in mind when he wrote a lot of the letters in the Bible, like when he wrote Ephesians, in Ephesians 2, for example, because you remember, if you take a look at Ephesians 2, how he starts out by telling how our lives used to be a certain way before we became Christians. He does it a lot in the letters, because people have problems going in circles, right? Well, let's turn over to Ephesians now and take a look at Ephesians 2, and we're going to read verses 1 through 3 of Ephesians 2. Paul writes, as for you, you are dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. See, that's what he says, that's what you were. He says that's what they were like. He said even they were part of it. Even he was a part of it. Think about those verses. You see, before we became Christians, we did have a purpose in our lives. We did. It was to gratify the cravings of our sinful nature and follow its desires and thoughts. That's what verse 3 says, right? That's what our purpose was. I'm going to look out for me and take care of all of my needs. I'm going to get what I deserve, right? All right. See, our lives used to be centered around ourselves, used to be centered around ourselves. And we used to walk around ourselves because everything revolves around me. Think about a little 2-year-old, right? It all revolves around him. You know, the problem is when we grow up and don't go past that. It doesn't revolve around us. It's not supposed to, you see. But back then, before we became a Christian, our lives were focused around our thinking, right? And our desires and our priorities and our purposes. But Paul goes on to say, that's all changed now as a Christian. Now the Bible says, you and I are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do, Ephesians 2:10. So we used to live for ourselves, but now, because we belong to Jesus, because we were baptized into Christ, because we were immersed into Christ and His way of life, we live for God now. We are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And of course, we all know that good works in themselves don't save us, right? I mean, Paul just spent an incredible amount of time talking all about that, Ephesians chapter 2. But those good works are a part of what we become when we're saved, you see. That's what Jesus had in mind when he said to let our light shine before all men so that they may see our good deeds and praise our Father in heaven, Matthew 5:16. Think about it. As a Christian, as God's people, out of love for God, out of love for each other in the body, His church, and out of love for the lost, we do good things. We do good works. We do good deeds because that's exactly what Jesus saved us to do with our lives. So if that's what we should do with our lives, if that's our purpose now, then just how do we go about doing that? That's a good question. Just how do we do these good works for Jesus? And more importantly, how do we find out what it is that God wants us to do? Well, over in 1 Peter chapter 4, in 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11, Peter writes this. He says, each one should use whatever gift. He says, each one, every Christian, should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. You see, what Peter's telling us is this, that God has given each of us certain gifts and abilities that we can use to do our good deeds for other people, to serve others, to serve Him. For example, you know, someone might be able to teach or to preach or to lead in the Lord's Supper or to song lead. And then there are others who are very skilled in other areas, like there are some who have the ability to give money. Maybe to the poor, or to help out with other ministries, or the food pantry, or maybe it's knitting hats for little babies, or travel down to the City of Children and encourage that ministry, or maybe it's organizing activities within the congregation, things like potlucks and weddings and funerals and who knows what else, right? No matter what it is that we can do, the point is that God has given you and me these gifts, talents, or abilities to use for Him. Remember again, Ephesians 2:10 tells us that He has created us in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We're made to do good things for God. Don't need to walk around aimlessly in circles. We have a direction. We have a purpose, you see. Think about that verse, though, again for a minute. The Bible says that each of us were made to make a contribution to the body, not just consume. God made us to make a difference in the Lord's church. So what matters is really not how long we live, but that's good, but how we live, right? We all know that's important. What matters is not the duration of our life, but you might want to say the donation of our life. And just looking around, we can see that on this planet, nobody gets a free ride, although a lot of people are trying to hitch one, you know? We're all meant to give something back. We're all meant to make a contribution. The Bible says that we're created to serve. We're saved to serve. We're gifted to serve. We're shaped if you will, to serve. Now, unlike some inexperienced boss who wants his workers to go about and do something that they've never done before and managed to do it right, don't you love that? Go do that. Oh, you figure it out, you know. Whenever God gives us an assignment to do something, he never gives it to us without equipping us first. Doesn't happen overnight, though. I mean, Job 10:8 reminds us that God's hand shaped me, right, and made me, all right? Job 10:8. You see, borrowing an acronym from Rick Warren's The Purpose-Driven Life, we see that God uses five things to shape us. That's spiritual gifts, our heart, abilities, personality, and experiences. And in taking the first letter of each of those words again, we can make up another an acronym for us to learn today, and that's our shape. That's our shape. Think about it. God uses shape to shape us, and he shapes every one of us differently from everybody else in the world. We're all different, okay? For a purpose, though, and our primary purpose, again, is to serve God. And when we look back at 1 Peter 4:10 again, we see that the text says that each of us should use whatever gift, again, he's received to serve ourselves, right? No, it's to serve others, right? It's not just to make money, it's to help other people. We're to use whatever gift that God has given us to serve others. We all have gifts and talents and abilities and various different backgrounds and experiences, and all these things are for the benefit, really, of other people, of other people. They're to be used for serving others. So, in making the most of our membership in the Lord's church, we find that if we begin serving the Lord and each other and the lost, that we'll also be so blessed we won't even begin to understand what is happening to us, because we'll feel so much a part of things. We'll see that our membership is so meaningful because we have found purpose, purpose in serving the Lord and in serving others. But first, again, we must figure out our shape. We must figure out our shape. So let's take some time this morning and look a little bit how God has shaped us so that we can make the most of our membership in the Lord's church. Now, you can begin to mentally do these things on your own as we go things and say, well, this is how the Lord has worked in my life, and make a note of those things. And that's how you can begin to discover your shape. So first of all, God has shaped us with spiritual gifts. And that is the S in our acronym SHAPE, right? The S stands for spiritual gifts. Now, no matter the gift, we do know a few things for certain about spiritual gifts, no matter what they are. And the first is simply that spiritual gifts are God-given. They're God-given. Okay. 1 Corinthians 12:11 reminds us that all these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. So God gives us whatever gift that he determines to whoever he determines. But remember, we can't learn a gift. You can't go to some class in the back room and learn a gift that God has given you, okay? We cannot twist the anthropomorphic arm of God to get him to give us a gift, okay? Any spiritual gift is a gift given by God as he sees fit. And that means that any spiritual gift possibly given is given by God for a purpose. All gifts are given for a purpose. There is no gift that is better either than any other gift. And apparently, according to 1 Corinthians 7:7, each man has his own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. But no one has all of the gifts. No one has all the gifts. As a matter of fact, we're to understand that some of the spiritual gifts are no longer given by God because there's not a purpose for them. Still, no matter what, whatever spiritual gift that someone may have been given by God, they shouldn't envy another person because they may or may not have a gift. And they shouldn't boast about whatever gift they may have. Instead, they are to serve the Lord with their gift. They are to serve each other in the body of Christ with their gift. And they are to reach out and serve the lost with their gift. You see, whatever spiritual gift someone may have, it is not for their own selfish use, but it's for the use in his kingdom. So the S stands for spiritual gifts. And God also has shaped us with heart. And that is the H in our acronym, SHAPE again. The H stands for heart. And when we say heart, what we mean is really another word for our passion or our motivation. What motivates you? In other words, just what is it that gets us excited you know? And we all have different hearts for things. We all have different passions. And for some people, their passion is being outdoors, you know, and they simply just love things like walking or hiking or hunting or fishing or camping. And maybe someone has a passion for music or cooking or even scrapbooking or gardening or something like that. Maybe someone has a passion for computers or video games or reading. All these things can be used for the glory of God, to serve Him. You know, have you ever thought about how God wants us to use our passion? People say, well, you know, I just do this over here and I can't possibly be any use to God. Well, there's a way, you see. How could God use our passion for His purpose? Got to think about that. See, no matter what it is that we love to do, teaching, talking, texting, walking, or even eating, okay, God can use our passion. Some people are very passionate about eating. You know, God can use our heart for His glory. Just remember 1 Corinthians 10:31 again. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. You see, God can take whatever it is that we're passionate about, that we have true heart for, and use it to His glory in some way that we might never imagine. Again, the H stands for heart. And God has also shaped us with abilities. And that is the A in our acronym, SHAPE. The A stands for abilities. And looking way back to the book of Exodus, in Exodus chapter 31, verses 1 through 6, we read about a time where God is given instructions for the building of the tabernacle. And by the time we get down to the end of that passage and all the things that they're supposed to do, the Lord says, I have given skill to all the craftsmen to make everything I have commanded you. You know, God does give us certain abilities. But, you know, we could look back at our own lives and think, you know, just what ability is it that God has blessed me with that I could use to serve Him, you know, His church, and to help reach out to the lost? Maybe it's the ability, think about this as an ability, to listen well. You know, there are some people who really listen well, and we know that's a tough gift to have. Because there are some people that just can't listen. You know, but there are some people who have been given the ability to listen well. Or there are others who have the ability to comfort really well. And you know who you are. There are people that just have a way about their voice, a way about their mannerisms. They comfort people. Or maybe you have the ability to earn money really well, to help support various ministries. Or maybe it's the ability to garden, or to paint, or to cook, or to print things, or to write, or to do anything, you see, like that. See, whatever it is, these abilities are different, though, from gifts. Okay, because what we're talking about here are skills that over time, either through training or simply the natural abilities that have developed, maybe, you know, those are abilities. See, abilities are things that we can do naturally or learn, and they go along with spiritual gifts so that we can make the most of our membership in the Lord's church. So again, the A is abilities, abilities. God has also shaped us with personality, personality, imagine that. That's the P in our acronym, SHAPE, personality. And boy, do our personalities all vary, don't they? They really do, you know. Still, God made us the way we are. God made us the way we are. And looking back, oh, Job 31:15 and Jeremiah 1:5, Isaiah 44:24, we clearly see that God is involved in our making. He formed us in our womb. You know, God made us the way we are, and we're made in the very image of God. Places say that all over the Bible. Genesis 9:6 is another one. We're made in the image of God, but we are all different. We're all different. Some of us are rather extroverted, you know, maybe even a little boisterous, you know, while some of us are more introverted, a little quiet, soft-spoken, you know. Some of us are more people-oriented people, you know, we like to hang around people and pal around. Others are more program-oriented, got to get the little schedule here and fit everything into place, you know. Some of us like routine and going through everything one by one and do the same thing every day, yada yada. Others like variation. It's interesting to see what happens when couples get married like that. Anyway, some of us make decisions that are more upon reason, and others make decisions that are more upon emotions. The point is, we're all different. But again, our personality is God-given, and therefore it's neither right or wrong. You can't say, oh, you're such an introvert, you got to get out of your shell. There's a purpose for the way they are. oh, you follow that schedule too much. You got to learn to be more loose. There's a purpose for the way they are. Too loose, you're so full of emotion. There's a purpose for the way they are. Okay? Our personality, though, will affect how we make our membership meaningful. Because we may want to do something that requires us, let's say, to be more outgoing. But really, our personality is more to ourselves, and that might conflict a bit with what we want to really do. Well, that simply means that we need to learn to understand that since we have a certain kind of personality, that we should begin to work with that and not work against it, okay? Work with our God-given personalities for the glory of God, for His church, and the lost. I think about the Apostle Paul. We've been going through the book of Acts on Wednesday nights, and I think back to just when he made a note in Galatians. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 14, that Paul was advancing, he said, in reference to his way of life, in Judaism beyond any Jews of his own age, and he was extremely zealous for the traditions of his fathers. And we know from our study in the book of Acts on Wednesday that Paul was no slouch. You know, he was extremely zealous in Acts 9. You know, before Paul became a Christian, we read about how he got letters from the high priest to go chase down Christians and drag them into prison, you know? So God saw that and said, Paul, wow, that's such a zealous man. I'm going to use him. All right? And his zealous personality. And he did. God used his zealousness to be one of the most evangelistic Christians the world has ever seen. An incredible teacher of Christ and an apostle. Now, that doesn't mean that we have to all be as zealous as Paul, okay? But it simply means that no matter what our personality type is, God can use us in His kingdom, in His church, in His body, for His glory. Well, that takes care of P, right? P stands for our personality. And that brings us up to the last letter in our acronym, SHAPE. And that is E, because God has also shaped us with experiences. That's the E in our acronym, SHAPE. E stands for experiences. And now no matter how or what our experiences might be, whether they might seem to be spiritual or painful or educational, or maybe even they were just incredible, we must remember again Romans 8:28, the whole equation, that we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who've been called according to His purpose. You see, in many ways, what we're talking about is the providence of God at work in our lives. Just like with Abraham and Sarah, they thought that they could take care of things themselves, even though God said that He would take care of it. You know, with Hagar and Ishmael, but eventually they had their firstborn son, Isaac, in Genesis 21, 1 through 7. And just like Joseph being sold as a slave and things seeming so terrible, but God had a plan in the whole thing, you know. Eventually he was made ruler over all Egypt, Genesis 50, verse 20. And just like Ruth, you know, you think about Ruth and losing so much early in her life, only to be blessed so much and becoming eventually a part of the lineage of Christ in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. And we can see so many examples in the experiences of the many souls that we read about in the scriptures about how God formed their shape through their experiences. And if we're honest with ourselves, we could go ahead and look back at our own life and see how our experiences have shaped us, how our experiences have made us who we are today. And, you know, some of our experiences might have been totally awesome. Well, some of our experiences might have been so terrible to define that we're just simply at a loss for words. But each of us has a unique set of experiences that enables us to minister, to serve others in similar situations. We all have different experiences. None of them are exactly the same. But some of them are so close that allows us to relate to certain people in a way that maybe no one else could. Each of us has a unique set of experiences, which enables us to do that. God has enabled them to happen to us to bring about good. That's hard to see often when we're there at the time. But stepping back and reflecting, maybe we could see that. Maybe we could see that. Still, no matter what, we're all God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Ephesians 2:10. It's all simply amazing when we step back and look at it, actually, how God has given each of us gifts and talents and abilities and different backgrounds and experiences. And all these things are for the benefit of other people. They're not really for the benefit of us, they're for the benefit of other people. They're to be used in serving God and in serving others. We've all been given a unique shape by God, a shape that's constantly being molded and crafted. Shape's not done, okay? A shape that will allow us, though, right now, that if we look at it, we'll make the most of our membership in the Lord's church as we continue to discover and rediscover how serving the Lord with our shape is important, how serving each other with our shape can happen, and how we could reach out with the lost, and we'll be so blessed when it's all said and done. We just need to make the decision to become what we already are for God. Stop trying to be someone we're not, but to be the Christian God wants us to be. Not go back to the past and walk in circles, not try to look over at the other side and say, hey, I need to do that, but to be who you are and use what God has given you for his kingdom, for his church, for each other. Let me close with a brief illustration and then offer the invitation. It's not as long as last week's. It's brief. It seems that there was once a young man who had heard the gospel, and he believed, and he was baptized into Christ, became a Christian. And like every new and earnest Christian, you know, he went to church every time the doors were open. He went to Bible class, and he eagerly just drank in and absorbed as much as he could about what he needed to learn. He wanted to learn it all, you know. And after a few months, an elder in the church came up to him. And he asked him, so tell me, young man, what have you done for Christ since you were baptized? The young man replied, oh, I'm still learning about things, you know, I'm still learning. Well, said the elder, let me ask you, when you light a candle, do you light it to make the candle more comfortable or to have it give light? The young man correctly answered, to give light. The elder then probed a little bit, well, do you expect it to give light after it's half burned or when you first light it? The young man responded, as soon as I light it. That's right, said the elder. Go thou and do likewise and begin at once. That's what we're to do. You don't have to wait anymore. Just take a look at what you're doing in your own lives. If you're not involved with something right now, think about what you could do. Think about what you do now and use that gift that God has blessed you with, that God has shaped you with for his kingdom, for the church, for one another. All right. As always, the invitation is extended for those who are subject. Maybe there's someone here who has yet to clothe themselves with Christ in baptism, Galatians 3, 26 and 27. Or maybe there's someone here who has some other need that we might be able to help out with in some other way. Maybe someone needs prayers to help them in their shape for God, or maybe there's a prayer concern that wasn't mentioned earlier. If you choose to come forward to share your needs, you're welcome to do that, or if you do prefer, you can visit with one of the elders, with Jeff, Paul, or Vern, you know, at your convenience for some encouragement. Whatever the case may be, if you need to, you're encouraged to come forward now as we all stand and sing the song that was selected.